This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Good evening, you're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9 with Kat and Gemma. Thanks for joining us. That was All I Have by the Veronicas. Great track, nice and upbeat to take us into tonight's show. We are talking about sexuality, diversity and gender queerness.
It's a complicated topic.
It's one that really needs to be talked about. And it's in light of Joy holding Melbourne's Transgender Remembrance Day tomorrow, November 20. We've posted details on our Facebook page. You can have a look there at Femme Fatale on Facebook. But I think the secret to trying to overcome some of these transgender issues is awareness and us talking about it and shining some light on it and trying to break down some myths and barriers that transgender people have that contribute to their lack of quality of life. The statistics of transgender suicide and self-harm are overwhelming, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, but we're also going to talk about our own experiences of gender confusion and the great wide grey world of sexuality that is existent in the LGBTIQ community. So,
and probably exists in the community at large, but is not really focused on in the heterosexual community. At any rate. And we would like to know what you think. So during the show, you can text us at 0427-JOY949. You can Facebook us at Femme Fatale. You can use the smartphone Joy app. You can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au. Tell us what you think, your experiences or things that you think need to be talked about more. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, you're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9 with Kat and Gemma. We just heard Baby Teeth by Betty Blackman and Bankrupt Emotionally by Moloko. We're trying to keep the vibe going tonight because we're talking about some pretty heavy things, and in light of the last, the ad about Transgender Remembrance Day, we are trying to shed some light on sexual diversity and gender queerness in our community and at large, and try and break down some of the barriers to awareness that we have about these particular groups.
And we want to know what you think as well. So you can contact us during the show and let us know. You can text us at 0427-JOY949. You can Facebook us at Femme Fatale. You can use the smartphone app, or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au. Now, I guess one of the main questions that sort of bandied about out there is whether or not sexuality and gender are biological or social constructs, or whether it's one or the other, whether it's a mixture of both of those. What do you think, Jem?
I think it's a controversial topic. I don't think there's an answer to the question, but I think we all have a different understanding of that based on our experience.
Mm-hmm. But of course our experience is informed by social and biological process as well.
That's exactly right. And I think the most kind of influential out of the two, biological versus social, is social, because our concept of constructs, the gender and sexuality constructs, come from society, and they're imparted upon us from the time we can read, write, hear, listen, speak, watch TV, news, and...
Yeah, of course. And yeah. It's... obviously, it's impacting upon you before you probably even have the critical powers to think about it reflectively. But if I go back as far as I can possibly remember, I don't remember being particularly earth-shatteringly moved by biological difference in any way. It's not something that I noted it. I remember noting it. I've got two older brothers. But that didn't seem to be... to really mean anything to me when I was little. What did actually matter to me was when I noticed that girls and boys got treated differently. And I remember, even as a very small child, understanding, like discussing it with my mother, why do girls and boys get treated differently, and having it explained to me, and even though I knew that there was some kind of biological link, and I knew what the biological differences were, could not for a second work out how that could possibly lead to this social difference. Like, I completely got the fact that my brothers had a penis and that I had a vagina, but I remember even as a really small child saying, well, what difference does that make? That means that boys get to be in charge and girls do the dishes. And I don't remember having that, you know. I mean, my house is was very gender equal in terms of, you know, who was considered, who did what and labour and all that kind of stuff. But I was really shocked once I got out of the home and went into school to see how much bias and stuff there was. And I really just couldn't understand how it worked. And what a penis and a vagina could possibly have to do with that.
Definitely. Well, I think...
but the point being, it feels to me like it's more of a social construct than it is a biological construct.
I believe gender is a social... The concept of gender is a social construct. But there are biological factors. I mean, some people have the experience of growing up with the genitalia of their gender, but don't identify with their gender, whatever that means. And I think that they don't identify with the social construct of their gender, or whether they just don't feel connected to their bodies, we don't know, because that's not within our realm of experience. But it would be really interesting.
And I'm sure that that is experienced both ways by different people.
Definitely. One of the other things we wanted to talk about, which I think is not talked about enough, is that when we come out as gay, lesbian, queer, bisexual, trans, something happens in our minds that releases our power to change the way we represent ourselves to the world, I think. And I think a lot of people I've spoken to have had the experience of coming out in their community and then suddenly feeling really differently about their gender. For example, straight men who've gone through their entire adolescence trying to look as straight as possible and dress and behave in a very masculine way, mm-hmm. and coming out and suddenly embracing the feminine and embracing their, you know, want to be manicured, and, you know, and some men that don't when they come out. They don't change at all. They feel really comfortable in their masculinity. I think it's a really interesting process that we go through. Before I really came out as same-sex attracted, I dressed very masculinely. I didn't want to be attractive to the opposite sex, and so I dressed like a boy. And when I came out finally, I was much more comfortable in my femininity, which is really
interesting. Well, I had exactly the same experience, which was that I the way that I performed my gender was very androgynous until I was really comfortable with my sexuality, and then I became more comfortable with expressing my femininity. But I certainly, that was a really long road for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt much more comfortable being androgynous when I was in the closet. And then when I was out of the closet, I felt like I wanted to be girlier, which I remember thinking was really weird at the time.
I think it is weird, but more and more people I'm talking to are having that experience. And it happens similarly in the gay male world, that a lot of men come out and realize, oh, I don't have to be that femme. I can stay masculine and still be out, and that vice versa.
Exactly. I mean, and these are things that you, as you say, like you learn them from talking to other people in the community, and things that aren't immediately obvious. I mean, the world is very heterosexist, and so we think that there's heterosexual and then there's the other, and we're not at all brought up to think that once you're in the other realm, that there might actually be a lot of difference in within that as well. So yeah, it was very surprising to me that I didn't, you know, want to cut all my hair off and you know, wear flannelette shirts.
Yeah, but I think the important point is that we all experience gender performance in varying degrees in our lives, and all feel really differently about how we identify and connect to our own gender. And trans people also, again, have a really, really different experience, and that's the one we're trying to shed some light on. But I think more to the point is that as human beings, we all experience the need or the want to subvert or our understanding of gender. Yeah. We're going to go to a track, but we want to hear what you think on this topic. You can text in at 0427-JOY949. You can Facebook us at Femme Fatale and comment on our status. Or you can download the free smartphone Joy app where you can also stream live our show at 8 o'clock on Mondays. You're listening to Femme Fatale at Joy94.9. Good evening. You're listening to Femme Fatale and Joy94.9. We just heard Chasing Dragons by Gemma Haynes. A really, really lovely track. You should check
it out. Is she Australian?
I think so. Yeah,
she's
pretty
really good.
Yeah, amazing. Really, really beautiful, soulful writing. Tonight on the show, we have talking about gender and sexuality constructs, biological versus socially constructed. We've also been talking about trans issues in light of that and in light of the Transgender Remembrance Day hosted in Melbourne tomorrow. In this section, we want to get into the nitty-gritty of the male, female, same sex attracted, heterosexual constructs.
Yep.
and what we think of those and how are they causing trouble in grey areas in our community?
Well, there just are so many grey areas. I mean, if you take a cursory look at the literature, or I mean, even what we were taught when we were growing up, for example, it seemed, you know, pretty obvious. There's men and there's women, and then there's people that are same-sex attracted, if you even knew that as a child growing up. People that are same-sex attracted and, you know, generally speaking, people who are opposite-sex attracted. And they seem to form, you know, like that seems kind of inclusive. Like you've got men, you've got women, you've got same-sex attracted, you've got opposite-sex attracted. Doesn't that cover everyone?
Mm.
But it turns out no, it doesn't. Really doesn't.
As soon as
everyone.
You throw transgender issues into the mix, everything gets hazy and everything gets grey. And it's just, you know, we just have to note that as soon as a group or a minority steps outside of those four norms, male, female, same sex attracted or opposite sex attracted, the mental health repercussions are huge because of the issues that they face in their everyday lives, not being a part of some this or that prescribed norm, which is really sad.
Yes, I mean, you've got not only got alienation to deal with, but discrimination and bigotry and bias and all sorts of horrible things,
yep.
I imagine.
And phobia and rejection, violence, bullying.
So, all right, there's a lot of different theories out there when it comes to sexuality. So there is the theory that people are either same-sex attracted or opposite-sex attracted,
yes.
Right? So that, okay, so let's use me, for example.
I love using you as an example. Go!
So I seem to be same-sex attracted, right?
Seem to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, according to society,
yes.
I am same-sex attracted.
And you identify as same-sex attracted.
I do. So if, however, I stopped identifying as a woman,
this would cause a problem.
This would cause a problem, wouldn't it?
In terms
of all the
identifying
the labels that
yes,
apply
labels.
To me, not just that I would change my label from this is as far as society is concerned that I would change my label from female to male,
but that you would suddenly be straight.
But would I? This is the thing. Like, if I remained attracted to women, then I would be a straight man, according to society, if they accepted me as a man. But then it's not clear in terms of research and people's lived experiences whether or not my attraction would change as well. Because if it's possible that you are either same or opposite sex attracted, it follows that, you know, it's possible that if I strongly identified or completely identified with being male, that my attraction might change.
But it's also the point, this is the main point of our conversation, is that if gender and sexuality intrinsically linked, as you're suggesting, and affected by biology and social constructs, or are they completely separate? So there's some new... I heard these identifying terms for the first time the other day. I was sitting in my lounge room and I'm with my mother and her partner and her partner's son and his partner. And it's a very queer-friendly household, and we got into an LGBTIQ heated conversation. And for the first time I heard the terms gynosexual and androsexual.
Yep.
And kind of the idea is that even if someone's gender doesn't change, their sexuality is their sexuality, and it doesn't necessarily change based on
what gender. What your own personal gender is.
Exactly.
Okay, was it gynosexual?
A gynosexual is attracted to women regardless of their gender.
So regardless of their own gender.
Regardless of their gender.
Yep.
Their own gender.
Yep.
So they may go through the majority of their life as a woman and later decide to trans, F to M, but have always and will continue to be attracted to women. So instead of using terms that exclude these people, the term gynosexual is far more broad and liberating. But then it goes to discluding people like bisexuals who aren't just solely attracted to women.
And also people whose sexuality is fluid throughout their lives, who might start off being attracted to women and end up being attracted to men, or float in between the two forever, who knows?
And the androsexual being the opposite side of the spectrum, where someone, a person, is attracted to males regardless of their gender.
Right. So do you think that these are helpful terms?
I think they're helpful in the trans community, and to our understanding, it helps my understanding. If someone identifies as gynosexual or androsexual, you understand, regardless of knowing how they identify in gender, as to how they identify sexually. I think that is helpful. But I think no matter what terms we apply anywhere in our community, someone is going to be excluded. And in our efforts to include, we're doing the best we can, but we're always going to exclude someone or some part.
There's always going to be someone that doesn't fit that formula.
That's exactly right. And which is why the queer label umbrella is just becoming more and more popular amidst our own community, and, you know, the lesbian community definitely are hearing it more and more, but in the community at large, definitely. It's a pretty heated topic.
Yeah, there's a lot of alphabet already.
I know, but we're all trying to understand, and we're all trying to grapple with the terms, and, you know, I think people are moving out of their fixed mentality as to what it is and isn't and all that kind of thing, and we're trying to
be inclusive,
grow our understanding. Yep. I think that's the most important part. A little word on trans for those of you who, I mean, we're talking about it a lot this evening. Just by loose definition, trans as a general term is used to capture the experience of being gender variant in behaviour and preference, including social or legal gender change or transformation, which is pretty interesting. We're going to try and shed some light on some mental health statistics and talk a little bit about Remembrance Day. Transgender versus transsexual.
Yeah, what's the difference?
I was just reading about this afternoon, and it's kind of loosely flowing out of my brain, but I think it's really important to talk about. Transgender are people who are of a gender and choose to identify in their lives as different, so F to M or M to F.
So they
do not
change their gender identity from the one that they were biologically assigned, is that what you're saying?
Yes, but they do not necessarily seek gender reassignment at all. They
may in surgery?
Yes, exactly. Transsexuals are people who seek and then undergo gender reassignment surgery. That's all we've got time for in this section. We're going to listen to some tracks. We want to hear what you think, and after this break we're going to talk a lot more about trans mental health. It's a pretty heated topic and we want to know what you think. So you can text in at 0427 Joy 949. You're listening to Femme Fatale. Good evening. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9 with Kat and Gemma. We've had a really interesting show tonight, and thank you all for joining us. To close it out, we're going to talk a little bit more about transgendered people and the issues and challenges that they face in a life of queer diversity. First, I want to thank Paul from Sydney for writing in. He said, I use developmental psychology in my work, and there's no real answer about the biological versus social. So I'd say you're both right, meaning it depends on the person. As for me, I didn't grow up around other gay people, just always knew I was different. Then one day in Sydney, I saw two guys holding hands and it all fell into place. It was beautiful, which is a really nice story, and thank you for sharing that with us. And that's why we wanted to share it with the world at large. In light of Transgender Remembrance Day, which is tomorrow, November 20, I'm sure we all know someone who's transgender. I'm sure we all have stories, and we've all gone on the journey with people who have made the change and experience their trials and tribulations. If you do know someone who has lost their life or who has suffered because of, you know, transphobia or whatever it may be, we would love you tomorrow to post on our Femme Fatale Facebook page and tell us your story, so that in an effort to share them with the world and kind of generate some more awareness around what can actually happen if we don't keep working to break down the barriers that create and isolate these people from our community and from the community at large. And I think it's our job to champion their stories. So please jump on our Facebook page and tell us the stories, your stories.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the issues that are faced in the community. I think there were some stats you wanted to bring up.
There is some stats. And look, the thing about all the research that we've been doing and constantly doing, because we trans issues come up in a lot of our shows, is that there's no research. There's no...
Or at least even the research that there is, a lot of it is pretty unreliable.
Yeah. The only government really out there that's doing current active research is the UK, which is amazing. I don't know why, but they seem to be the forerunners in research at the moment. There's not inclusive data from the census. It's not collected. In the 2006 census, there were only options of choosing androgyny or intersex, intersexuality. On the census, there wasn't a trans option.
Oh, right.
Which is how we ever going to collect any data unless we change the census.
So there was male, female, androgynous and intersex.
Yeah.
Right.
A survey of 872 trans people, this is in the UK, found that 34% had considered suicide. The current suicide rates of trans in Australia is around 25%.
That's...
either attempting or succeeding.
Awful.
Which is absolutely devastating. Now, I think we can all understand some of the reasons that this might happen or might occur, but there are different challenges that trans people face in the community that are even outside our experience. Trans people are more likely to experience unemployment, poverty, and homelessness for a variety of reasons. There can be a lack of understanding from community, from employers, from medical practitioners, them not being able to get the right medical help that they need, from their families, from religious communities. A lot of them have difficulty returning to work after making a trans change. They face rejection from their partners, from their families, from their religions, from community. They experience transphobia and... The incidence of violence and bullying in the trans community is almost double of that in just the gay and lesbian community. So they've got a lot of challenges to face. Now, the other really interesting thing is that there's a lot more research around M to F trans.
Yeah.
And what of all the social workers... are reporting, and they don't have the data to back this up because they don't. There's no quantitative research happening.
Mm-hmm.
Is that there are far more F to M trans going on, and a lot less support in
so you're saying like anecdotal evidence from people that work in the field?
Yeah, we're talking about social work reporting and that kind of thing is showing that there's a lot more F to M issues going on, and a lot more of that. In the trans community, then people realise.
All right.
But all of the research is mounted around M to F.
Yeah. So that's where the funding is.
There's
at the moment.
An even further great, like, you know, gap in us actually bridging these divides, which is...
Well, it's really hard to identify issues if there's no research. And the research has to be well conducted, which implies a certain level of understanding to start with, if the data is even going to be useful.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's starting to happen. I mean, there is some research out there. And, you know, you can only hope that the quality of that research gets better and better.
We just want to,
and the quantity.
Yeah. We just want to encourage anyone who is struggling with issues or experiences such as these or knows someone who is and has no idea what to do. Our suggestion here at Joy is to call Lifeline on 131114 and make a connection, and they can put you through to the right community support in your area. And guide you in the right direction to get some help, because you don't have to live that way.
And we're just about out of time, but I think it's worth mentioning before we go that so there's a Trans Day of Remembrance. This is an international day as well, and countries kind of and cities decide when they're going to hold it. It's always in November, and tomorrow Melbourne is hosting a Trans Day of Remembrance, and the event is between 3 and 8 p.m. at the Wygender Trans Youth Social Support Group. There's access to a room. There will be a candlelight vigil. There'll be soft music and a calming atmosphere, and food and drink is provided for free. So if you are interested in attending that, please RSVP to m.rogers at Wygender. That's the letter Y, then the word gender, no gap, .com. The room is open from 3 till 8, and again, it's tomorrow, and it's in Carlton. It's at 177 Drummond Street, Carlton, at Drummond Street Services.
We can post all those details on our Femme Fatale Facebook page, but we are running out of time. Thank you to all the people that text in and told us their stories, and we haven't had a chance to share them. Thank you for letting us know. We really do, again, encourage you to post your stories on our Facebook page tomorrow on Remembrance Day, because we would really like to support the community. You have been listening to Femme Fatale at Joy 94.9. Coming up next, we've got Amy Bastow with Kiss My Arts, and the Take You Out track is Endless Summer by the Jezebels.
Good night.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.